Thank you so much for joining us in the living room on this wonderful Sunday morning. The Lord be with you, and I hope and pray that your faith will reach out. The Holy Spirit will be there with you as He is with us. He's so wonderful. He loves you just as much as He loves us. Lord, we praise You, and we thank You for this wonderful day. We thank You for how You've allowed Brother Freedom to be with us another week. We ask You, Lord, that You would anoint him mightily. Touch us who are here in the living room, that we would be so open to You that we would have mighty insights by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask, too, for our listener, that the same wonderful miracle would take place. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, I feel His presence. All glory to us.
This is Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Then in Isaiah chapter 53, starting in verse 1, it says, Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Then in Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it says, And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Father, thank you for your words. They're life to us. We love you today. We worship you. You are our God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for yourself, Lord. And we pray for your mighty anointing upon this service. We pray that you would have your perfect will in your way. We pray for Brother Freedom, Lord, that you would enable him by your Spirit to deliver your message this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Father, that you are willing to forgive our sins if we just confess them to you, that you have offered us salvation free as a gift because of your Holy Son, Jesus, who died for us. Thank you for the infilling dwelling of your Holy Spirit, that will give us confidence each day to go forth and believe in faith that you are going to do according to your will what you have promised. Thank you for your promises, for your free gift of salvation. Thank you for your presence here in this place, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Father, we just praise you. We thank you for this wonderful day. Lord, this service today is going to be a tribute to Jesus. Someone should have did this long time ago. It's his service, totally his service. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that this is your service today. We give our hearts and our whole attention to you this day. That you're worthy of all the praise. You're worthy of all honor. And Lord, we thank you what you did on the cross. Oh, how you bled and died, that we could be saved, that we could be set free, we could be overcomers, that we could walk victorious in this day. We could see signs, wonders, and miracles. By your stripes we are healed. Oh, we just do praise you, Father. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you was willing for these things to be fulfilled. We know it was thy will was done. And somehow he was bruised for our iniquities. Lord God, we had an extra strength to come because what he did upon the cross. How that when he died the third day, he set captivity free. He brought gifts to those that need that special touch. He gave the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, power through prayer that they could be delivered from the enemy. And they would have, in the church, they would have power over the things that come by the enemy. That the church of the Lord Jesus Christ could be victorious as a shining light, a tribute to Jesus. It's all a tribute to Jesus. Jesus didn't want no dead church. He wants a live church, alive, moved by his precious, the Spirit of God. And Lord, we thank you this day. We thank you for the election of your mighty power, the visitation of your mighty hand. We thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. To him be all glory, to be all praise, to be all honor. The Lord would say, he is the way, that Jesus is the truth, life, and no one can get to God or to this world, the end of this world, only by his gift. And that's true, and we accept him. Father, thank you for that word. I felt this morning that this day was a tribute to Jesus. You know, he started out as it started way back in the Old Testament. It was spoken about that one day that God would send a king, basically. See, Israel was looking for a earthly king. The Bible says he came to his own, and his own received him not, but to many received him, them he gave power to become the sons of God. He came to his own received him not, but to many as received him, to them he gives power. I just want that to sort of all over the world. I want you to get that in your being right now before we go any farther. Because that's what Jesus came for. The beginning of Jesus' life, we know that how Mary and Joseph, they were actually Jesus' one that kept them all through the early years. They were his parents, earthly parents. He came as a man, but he was still God. He stripped himself of all power. He come in here in a neutral position, and if the world were known about it like they do now, they would be neon signs just coming. The King of Kings is coming. They don't even understand. But if the true meaning come forth, all the nations would be worshiping Jesus. But yet he came as a lowly, lowly boy. He came into a manger. And I don't know, I've been around dairy cattle, but cows, those things, sometimes a barn is not the cleanest thing. But Jesus came into manger anyway. The straw was probably his bed. Bless. How Mary must have grieved for him. Mary knew he was worthy of more than that. And yet Herod says it puts out that all babies are going to get killed. So that was out. Mary and Joseph. Finally the wise men came. Because they followed the star. They knew this great star. It was in the sky. So the wise men followed that star, and they got there, and they worshipped. The world didn't see it, but praise God, God had an audience anyway. The wise men knew it was the Son of God. He'd come down this world to make a change in the setup they had. At that time, when you died, it was different. Abraham's bosom, but it was a place, holding place, but the wicked people went into hell, as I understand it. So Jesus was there to bring that new day. What if that was still existent today? We had no hope. And the way the powers are getting, the wickedness coming in, we've got help from the Lord. This morning, God literally helps me in everything. Much, I don't know how I'd be without him. I have no idea. But I know he's very precious. When someone's holy, it's easy to love that person. You know, they say you hate somebody, you love him, but you don't love what they do. What's easiest? It's easy to love him. Easy to be entreated. Floods the glory of God about you. You know, the glory comes upon you when you think about that wonderful name. There's no other name in heaven whereby you can be saved in the name of Jesus. That wonderful name. Oh, those joy bells ring out. Jesus, Jesus is coming. He's coming through the clouds of glory. And oh church, you need to wake up. You need to be ready because he's coming in a time when the world looks for him not. He's coming in a time when everybody thinks they got everything in control. That's just the time he's going to come. And I believe working up that time. But going back to Jesus, they made it through Egypt when they went down there. They made it back. And Jesus, he just grew up like a normal boy. Lord showed me that he had monks. He had 5 toothache. He went through the things that we go through in all points, tempted as we are, yet without sin. There is no temptation taking you but what is common man. In that temptation, he will make a way of escape that ye might be able to bear it. So Jesus went through everything that we face. He's been through it. Everything. There's nothing. It's hard for us to understand that, but there's nothing that he hasn't faced. God's God. God knew those things. What we have to come in and work on, that we have that faith in him. We have to have that faith in him that when I believe Jesus Christ, my personal Savior, that he is going to be my Savior forever. I'm going to be the bride. He's the groom and I'm the bride. He is that groom and I'm the bride. And how does a marriage start? It starts the love between the two. That love relationship's how it gets going. Well, how does Jesus feel when we don't really love him? Church, where are you? I've bled and died for you. I've been giving you, helping you all this world. I'm your Savior. But yet you don't love me. The Bible says if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. They'll make you put meat on the bone. And maybe he's going to get some muscle into you instead of anemic. The church, Lord Jesus Christ, is anemic. It's frail. It's very, without power. Boy, when you get muscles, you can stretch out, and with God's help, you can go reach the moon if you have to. Wherever you have to go, we've reached the moon. America has. God has blessed us. God has blessed this nation in such a dynamic way. Yet we've never said thank you. We even into our chaplains we got on ships, we kick off those that believe in Jesus and put on Muslims. That's terrible. That's happening all right now. So you know how God feels. In turn, we're going to have to suffer the wrath here until he takes us out of it. Because the judgment must begin in the house of God. But the end thereof is a way that takes the children of God back to heaven. It's just a way that God gets us all together. He lets us see these things happening. That we'll be ready because God's going to take care of us. His eyes over the righteous. His ears open the cry. So, as a righteous father, God's got his people over here. He's going to take care of them. Satan, you can't get too close because you have to go through God. You need to get this in your heart that God gives you that power to resist and draw nigh unto God. Resist the devil. Many times I had to flee, resist him. Get out, Satan, get out of the way. The other day I had a cup of coffee, and all of a sudden I lost the coffee, and I wasn't, and I didn't get upset or nothing. But I said, Satan, you get out of here. Don't need you in here no longer. If we get in this and take them and get him out right then, don't let him get cur in your door. If he starts creeping in there, you get him out then. Don't wait till he gets over here behind you. That's what we do. We take too long in getting basic with him. We're God's children. We can say it in the name of the Lord. I come unto you in the name of Jesus. That overpowering power. The deliverer. The keeper of my faith. And you know, when he started Jesus' life, you know, when a little later on he goes and sets the scribes and Pharisees and all these for talking there, and Jesus was had them, they couldn't understand how he was so brilliant, but he's still a man. As time goes by, goes down the road a little farther, Jesus sees these Matthew, Mark, John down there, and says, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. How about that? So they join up with him. Pretty soon Peter's there, James, and Jesus became a following, these 12 disciples. That's what started. So Mary stayed back, watched Jesus all the time because she really loved Jesus. Even though she must have loved him. So what's she, how could he treat his son that way? It's God's son too, but Mary was his earthly mother. So they go down to this, they're invited to go to this wedding. And they had wine on the, and I don't know how Renner went, but they had wine there for it. And ran out of wine. This fellow, this one in charge come run to Mary. He says, we have no wine. And Mary told him, says, ask Jesus. He'll provide for you. That's really the beginning. Mary did the introduction, really. So, bless her heart. Jesus says, give me some water. Go draw some water. They draw the water out and get it out. Put it in the bowls now. Where are your containers? Since the water touches that bowl, it gets wine. And here, the wine tasters in those days, they'd already taken the wine that they had, and then they got on to the bride, whatever the wedding one for the wedding. They says, why did you wait? You had the best wine first, not the last. He says, we run out of wine. That's the new wine from Jesus. See, Jesus was a change to everything in the world at that time. He started changing things. When you see there's 5,000 or so in this multitude, and they have a few fish and a few biscuits. Jesus prayed for it, just prayed for it. Okay, 50 to sit, 5,000 people, a lot of people. The love of God, the love of Jesus, how he felt for them, hungry. He says, yes, we'll go provide. That's why Jesus said today, yes, I'll provide for you. I'll keep you, my children. Don't be afraid, for I am going to go with you through this trial of test that you're going through. I'm forever faithful. I will guide you. I will direct you. I'll help you. Remember, I'm with you, my child. As that comes back, they had to have baskets to pick up the leftovers, the fragments. Happened a couple of times. Yet this lady had so many years she'd been afflicted with bad blood. And she just knew if she'd get touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she'd be healed. She knew that. Just like day before, I went to this house and this lady says, you can make I've been trying to get an application because where I was, I didn't like what was going on. So I had to get a new place and I gave her the form and I did a lot of praying. I know my friend, Brother Clint, prayed with me. She says, I don't make no decisions. She doesn't make any decision. It goes to a council of people. They probably use computers and find out all this. There's quite a few also. There's already on there. There's quite a few. But so I have no say. I'm going to show you the apartment, but that's all. In other words, she didn't have to make any decisions. She just managed the apartment. But I knew that I was going to get it. I knew I was going to get it. And it wasn't getting the apartment. I knew that God was going to take care of me. What touched me, it wasn't the apartment, it was nothing. But my Father was doing it for me. And he loved me so much. He loves you so much. And he wants to take care of you. I'll get it back. And the next morning, wasn't even a day full late, she called me and says, you're on. Praise the Lord. Right. Not seeing the righteous forsaken, neither is seed begging bread. David said that. I'm not seeing the righteous forsaken, neither is seed begging bread. That means God, the eye of the Lord, if he, well, once he takes care of the sparrow, he's going to take his eyes on the sparrow. He's going to take care of us. As time went by, we seen how that Jesus did many things. Set the blind free, heal hearts, all the things that only Jesus could do. They could be so full of the glory of God. And it's running down to the end of about 33 years, about all the time Jesus had on earth. He knew his time was, my eyes, I love you, Lord. Lord, I love you. Jesus says his time was getting close. And they could not, the disciples couldn't figure what he's talking about, because they didn't think about, but Jesus knew he had to be that sacrifice. He had to be able to do what he was set to do. Jesus said, he says, you know what, says, fellows, I've been so long here with you, but I'm not going to leave you loneless. I want to be with you. And they said, how are you going to do that? And, Peter, oh, how can you do that? See, they were thinking the humanistic realm, God does to the spiritual. God was trying to graduate them from humanistic to spiritual. Right then, real fast, what happened? It was all human time until Jesus hung up on that cross. Something happened when Jesus hung up on that cross. They all got saved. You know, salvation is so wonderful. Out there, I don't know how, you cannot imagine it. Just having that peace. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That overwhelming presence of God in His presence is fullness of joy. You get that all. You get this all. It's yours. It's yours. How you can turn away with a death there and say, I don't want it. It's everything. America, you need it. America, you need this. This hit us this day. It's for you. You need to take it. You need to get excited because Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is life. But no one comes unto the Father but by Him. It gets narrow that way. But you can have Him, the fullness. Praise God, the pathway, the just, that shining light, that shines more and more to that most, what perfect day. The perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, the edifying, and the body of Christ, it comes through the elevation of overcoming. Jesus was talking to His disciples. He told them, be not deceived. There will be a lot of deceptions going to take place. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's a real simple verse, but it says a lot. If we get deceived, we lose our birthright. Salvation has to be paid. It's the only thing that's just like an insurance policy. You have to keep the premiums paid. I know this. Out there, you what saved off, but it's not right. We have to keep, and it multiplies. We get a brighter light. We shine more and more to that most perfect faith. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show themselves strong on behalf of whose hearts. The hearts is made perfect toward Him. God looks for the perfecting of the saints, that we might be edified in the body of Christ. We no longer wander like the wind and go to every wind of doctrine. Be moved upon by the Holy Spirit that leads us, guides us, directs us. So that time Jesus was talking to the disciples, He says, boys, men, brothers, I love you. For your mind. One's going to be here. It's going to come against Jesus. It better he'd never been born. But Jesus right there heard it. But Jesus had his eyes upon the money bag. It didn't have to be the money bag. It could be anything. He needed to keep his eyes on the Lord. There's one thing for I'd like to bring out for you. But they was out sailing. Jesus wasn't with them. Here they say, Jesus walking in the water. Comes to them. They said, how you walk? Well, Jesus just walked in the water. So Peter gets up and says, Lord, I want to come to you. And Peter gets out of the boat and pretty soon he begins to speak. But that's what we do sometimes. We're not looking on our help. Peter finds out he is still a lot of human. He had to grow spiritually to be able to walk on water. And we as God's people, when we get older, He's going to let us walk on the spiritual life of water. Spirit, we don't see it. But you walk on the Spirit. It's not where I'm at, it's where I am with Him. We get this place in life when we really need some added help. And Jesus was introducing to the disciples that help. He says, it's needful that I go away. It's needful that I go away. But if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter in my name. He will help you in all areas as I've been led by Him while I'm here. In the same exact way that He's led me, He's going to lead you. Exactly the same way. Jesus didn't lead Himself. The Holy Spirit led Him. We read it. The Holy Spirit led Him. It wasn't through self. The Holy Ghost led him. Verily, verily, he believeth on me, the works shall I do, shall he do also, greater works shall I do because of going to the Father. What you ever ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified through the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And he will send the word of the Spirit of truth. And when the Spirit of truth has come, he shall reprove you and set you free, and you'll be able to move mighty by his will. The edifying of Satan, the move of the Spirit. There's no way of describing it, but it's heavenly. God comes into your being, and there's another dimension that comes in your life. I don't know why the church is at fault against it, because it was a dimension. The devil was doing the fighting. He told everybody, well, it's not for you. It's not for the receivers to walk away from it, I'll guarantee you. That's why I don't push it. But it is the power. It is the great power. I guarantee you, Oral Roberts had that power. The world of those times when Oral Roberts, they didn't, no one's seen this before, except from Pentecostals had. I remember my wife, she was going to pick me up one night. We had a new car, and this gravel truck behind her, she came over the top of this hill, and before her there was another gravel truck, and he stopped. My wife had to stop. The last one broke her neck. And I remember when he got out, he says, I've messed up your car. She says, well, you didn't mess up my car, only my neck's broke, I think. And it was. She had enough faith to say that God's going to heal me. No other way. He's going to heal me. Our baby was just about a month old. He was at her mother's. I didn't know where. It got to about 7 o'clock at night and nobody come. And I was about 50 miles off. Finally, I seen my brother-in-law's car coming down the road. And she was still with him. I told her, Betty, you need to be in the hospital. She said, God's going to heal me. And her brother's name is Vernon. Vernon says, you know what the doctor told you? If it breaks anymore, you're going to be paralyzed or dead. She says, no, God's going to heal me. And that was on Friday evening. I had to work Sunday. But just habit, I got off. And I come in just as she'd been, the service was going on. The pastor had been in Dallas, Texas. Never didn't know anything what went on down where we was at. And no one told him nothing. But the Holy Spirit told him something. And the Holy Spirit told him, says, he needed to pray for someone. God is so wonderful. I didn't know God could do these things. I knew Betty was really hurting bad. He prayed. He says, Betty, that's you, wasn't it? She says, yes, I'm healed. She went to the next day. They couldn't even find a break. It was all back to normal. God's good. I can tell you time after time, God is God, and you need him. I seen a girl that had a garter on her neck in that same church. Holy Ghost one night called her up forward and prayed for her. Before your eyes left, her skin was just as beautiful as could be. I seen the healing power of God move in that little bitty church. I fell off a D8, and I know I must have had real serious troubles. But I, after what happened to Betty, I said, I'm going to go. That same pastor prayed for me. Those headaches left one way. Back here a couple years later, I found myself out here in another state, and I had another injury. The transmission had fell over on my head by myself, and really, I was in pretty bad shape. And I couldn't get rid of the headaches, and it was really, really serious. My wife called her mother, said, have Orberly, that was her name, Orberly Andrews, pray for me. Never had no headaches. God is God. After a few years, I had headaches. And I was working on a 977. The pain in my neck went away in 977. And I had a neck injury, too. That was happening. But that's so many injuries happened. But God has been in the healing of everything that's happened. At 977, my head was hurting so bad. It was in June. I finished up, and it was so hot. And my head was just really hurting. I kept working. Those days I worked while I was hurting or not. I just kept going. But when I come against you, Satan, this headache in Jesus' name, it left immediately. And God said, yes, that's the way I want you to act from now on. Take authority. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not taking authority. Jesus gave them the authority over the principality of the air and the spirits works in the children of disobedience. In times past, we've all been there, but we need that separation of the glory of God be elevated us up to a place of a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. A glorious church. That means walking in victory. When you're not in victory, you're not happy like you should be. You might be worldly happy, but boy, there's something about having the love of God and Jesus in your heart that makes you happy whatever comes your way. When I had that neck hurt, I still was happy. I was just my neck hurt. People couldn't figure it out. I was still happy. Jesus is the way. Somehow we have to suffer persecution. That's part of our cross. I went through quite a few persecutions. Went almost 8 years, 7 years. But Jesus seemed fit to heal me once again.
That pain left.
Jesus is the answer, America. Whatever you out there, Jesus is the answer. He loves you. He is spotless. He loves you. He paid in full that you could be redeemed, set free, that you don't have, no longer have to live in bondage, that you could be an overcomer, walking in victory. You don't have to walk in sin no longer. You don't have to walk in shame, but you can be delivered, walk of elevation of the glory of God, being alive. You can be the child of God that God has smiled down to you and said, I'm happy with you, my child. Advance forth my name, I'll bless you. Yes, you'll fall. Those you fall, you'll not be able to cast down, for the Lord upholds you with his mighty hand. There's times that we might fall, but if we'll call upon him, God sees us. We're made of dust. The psalm says he sees our children. We're made of dust. He realizes that we can sin, but it's not a sin. It's not a sin for that. It's when you keep indulging that sin and just deliberately walk away. God wants us to set ourselves free daily. He died on the cross that we can be liberated for the pathway that many of us find ourselves in, a pathway going down the wrong path that leads us to eternal destruction. The pathway of God takes us to heaven, to a place that's never been seen before, but written I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that are prepared for the love of God. But God hath revealed it by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches, yea, the deep things of God. It takes the Holy Spirit, it is the mover of God. See what we've had, a carnal church. A carnal church is doing what you do in your mind. A spiritual church is letting the Spirit of God do it. You see the difference? Yes, it's all done, but God says, I want to do it. Man said they want to do it. So we come to a stalemate. Well, which side do you think going to win? I put I know Jesus will win, but Jesus has a lot more to it than just Jesus. The Holy Ghost is part of Jesus too. And God the Father is part of it too. But the Holy Ghost is our help that lives us day by day. He is that helper. He is that spokesman that you need, that comforter. He comforts you in your troubles. The day of pain, he's there to deliver you, set you free. Oh, church, where are you this day? God's saying, come, draw nigh. The church is dead, unless you need to rise this day and come forth in his name, and God will set you totally free. But it's up to you to choose. You're going to have to say like the old prophet, choose you this day whom you will serve. It's for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. He has showed the old man what is good, and what does the Lord require? Do justly. We're going to do what we're doing, put our whole self in, and love, mercy, and walk humbly with our God. And closing, I'm going to say a little bit about humility. We as God's people need to be humble. It's only God that helps us to move. God can cripple us. He can do anything he wants to do. He is God. If we're walking in the joy of the Lord, then we say, Lord, thank you for this day. You are my hope, because you can shut me down at any moment. My life is in his hands. My life is directed by him. Jesus paid in full that this can take place. If it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't have, God cannot even look at us. It's through the blood of Jesus that he can look at us. And you can't get so churchy that you forget about God. You can't get so churchy that you forget about the Spirit of God. God bless you all. I pray that God will bless you. Pray that God will make his face to shine appear in you. But he's coming back soon, and you need to be ready. Out there, I want to tell you again, I love you, I love you, I love you. Be ready. Walk pleasing. Walk with the Lord and all pleasing. Being fruitful in every good work. You work on that. Working. Be fruitful, Lord. Work increasing in all good works. God bless you all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I hope I never forget this message, Brother Freedom. That's a great one. Praise the Lord. Touched me. This is my new favorite message. Praise the Lord. Thank you, listener out there, for coming and being with us in the living room. God bless you.